All right. Good evening, everyone. I hope everybody's been having a good week this week so far. And it's good to see the Prestridges back in service with us. And it's been just a little while. They've been out and sick and all, but they are back and doing good. So good to see you guys with us tonight. Am I too loud or fine? Okay. All right. Well, if it starts squealing, y'all just throw your hand up in there. Anyway, it's good to be here tonight, our Wednesday night prayer meeting, Bible study. And we will do like we always do. We will jump right into things. And let me just go over this first, kind of a rundown of the month of February. Remember on the 20th, that's the third Sunday of February, that will be the women's CLU meeting at 3 o'clock. And at the same time, for our deacons, we'll be having a deacons meeting at that time. And talked to Brother Ceylon the other Sunday, and he said, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. Actually, he came to me about it and said, what do you think about doing this while the women are meeting in CLU? I said, that's great. He said, we can, have things to talk about as deacons and all, but if we don't have anything to talk about, we'll just pray. And I said, that sounds like a great use of time to me. And so actually looking forward to that. So remember that on the third Sunday, women CLU and those that are deacons will be having that meeting. And of course, the last Sunday night of this month will be our Sunday night fellowship. Seems like everybody's really, really enjoying that since we started that. And it's just a good change, a break in sequence. And so we'll continue that on the last Sunday night of this month. And then, of course, Jubilee right around the corner. And we are tying up a few loose ends and getting all the wrinkles ironed out and getting ready to go into our Jubilee meeting. And of course, that's on Sunday, March the 6th. Through March the 10th on Thursday. And on that Sunday morning at 10:30 will be starting time. We'll have Brother Snyder Turner preaching for us, and then the Perrys will be singing. So we're looking forward to having them here at the church. And then Sunday night, Brother Sammy Burgess will be preaching, and the old past will be singing. Glad to have them back with us in meeting. Then on Monday night, Brother Ricky Gravely from Rossville, Georgia, pastor of Bible Baptist Church, will be preaching. I know for sure two has heard Brother Ricky. Has anybody else heard Brother Ricky Gravely preach? Okay. All right, well, you're in for a treat. He's a younger man and just a fireball. And so, he has great content. He's not just loud or gets geared up, but he has actually something he's saying. You know, a lot of times there's some preachers who are loud but have nothing to say, and you walk away like, well, my ears hurt, but I'm still empty in my heart. So anyway, Brother Ricky is not that way. He is God's man. Been trying to get him down here for a while now, so looking forward to having him. He is actually catching a flight the very next morning. I talked with him yesterday, and going to California to preach. And I thought, man alive, I've never even been on a plane before. And it's amazing to see the different kinds of ways God uses his men on different platforms. But Monday night, it'll be Jaden's Call singing. And Tuesday night, Jaden's Call will be singing again. And the lead singer of the Perrys and Jaden's Call, their sisters, but just have different groups. And Tuesday night preaching will be Brother David Smith. And we all love him, looking forward to hearing him. And then on Wednesday, normally and traditionally, Floyd Road Choir has been here on Monday night. And then the Diplomats, as you know, would sing as well, along with our choir. But this year, doing things different. We have Floyd Road Choir on Wednesday night. Wednesday nights are kind of a lull because everybody normally goes to their own church on Wednesday night. But the choir, Floyd Road Choir, will be here. And then I've asked Brother Keith Collins if he would bring the message for us on Wednesday night. And then to close out the meeting on Thursday, Brother Craig Edwards from Mount Airy, North Carolina, a.k.a. Mayberry. Brother Craig will be preaching for us. He was here last year. And then we're going to use some of our talent here at the church for the singing on Thursday night. And so looking forward to that. Again, if you are planning on eating with us before each service that week, if you would sign your name on the sign-up sheet just so we can get a ballpark figure. If you want to bring something sweet, something to drink, that would be great too. So just remember those things. All right, let's continue to remember tonight Miss Carrie Bennett in our prayers, who has congested heart failure. She's dealing with that. I spoke with her, I believe it was Monday, for a while on the phone. And she's actually feeling better. She's just on a lot of different medications. So we'll continue to pray for her. And Miss Ruby Harper, she had surgery. I believe it was yesterday. It was either, it might have been Monday or Tuesday one, she had surgery. She had some skin cancer removed. And I communicated with her son, Steve Harper. And she did good with that surgery. She's supposed to go back next month for another skin cancer removal. Just pray for her. Brother David and Miss Glenda, we know Brother Claude went home to be with the Lord. Brother David or Miss Glenda, is there any kind of arrangements on him of any kind? Graveside. Okay. Well, let's remember the family of their good friend Claude. Let's remember our children's home and our house parents and all of our young people there. And Brother Harold Dolph, Leonard and Dolores Palmer, and Ed, Marianne Sanvey. Miss Marianne said Brother Ed's doing pretty good. Miss Cassie is working out greatly with him. So we praise the Lord for that. James and Shirley Townsend, Mary Kelly, the Teagues. Miss Connie is going to have surgery on Monday, Valentine's Day. So let's remember her in prayer. We'll have special prayer for her on Sunday. Rusty and Chris Watkins, Randy Janet Bailey, Charlie Wilson, Melissa Slagle, Don and Carla Rich, Claudia Darby, Barbara Anderson, Jenny Clanton, Gerald and Francis Carroll, all of our shut-ins, James Tolan Brown, our Marine, Peyton Cochran, the Navy, and Kevin Brook, Champion Christian College. Let's remember all of these requests. Maybe someone has an update or praise, Brother Don?
Charlie is in the hospital.
Is he?
When he fell, he did break his hip.
Not good. Absolutely. I'll reach out to them, try to tomorrow. Anybody else? Ms. CC.
A couple of weeks ago, I got the news that my mom, Doris Bridgman, has stage 2 breast cancer, and she's not going to do anything for it. So I'm going to be heading to Florida to start helping her transition through
the year. I'm sorry to hear that. We'll certainly be praying
so
for her. Let's remember this request. Ms. Lee Ellen.
Krista's husband, Stephen, mm-hmm.
Okay. Just about the time he started his new pastorate at First Church. Let's remember the Sapp family. Anybody else? Ms. Glenda.
I've got to pray for Brandon's youngest brother.
anyone else?
I got one more thing.
Okay.
I just want to say thank you. I'm talking about the overwhelming love, praises, cards, phone calls, food we got from everybody while we were sick. But this church is more than our own family did. It was just so heartwarming.
Absolutely. That's right. Well, you are definitely loved, and I'm so glad that you guys are back. Anybody else? All right, well, let's have a time of prayer together. If you want to come to the altar, you can. If you want to stay seated, you can. And then just after, Brother Jeff's going to come along with a song, and then we'll bring the lesson tonight. remember singing that song several times over at Floyd Road. And Brother Alan Barrett on Wednesday night would say, it's kind of hard to sing Standing on the Promises when we're sitting. So standing on the promises and not just sitting on the premises. But anyway.
It's hard when your guitar strap comes on and you're trying to hold it, keep the guitar from falling.
Hey, you recovered well, brother. You recovered well. My. All right. Let's turn to the book of Psalms tonight. Psalm 37. Psalm 37. I have had some verses on my heart from this portion of Scripture, verse number 1 through 7. All week this week. And of course, I prayed and asked the Lord several times about tonight's lesson and just kept coming back here to Psalm 37. I do want to bow for a word of prayer, and we're going to summarize some things out of Psalm 37, and then we're going to mention some things out of Psalm 37. Father, we come in Jesus' name tonight, and we're so very thankful, Lord, for this opportunity, God. Thank you, Lord, for a clear head and a calm heart, the excitement, Lord, and the passion to be here with your people. Is just greater than I am, and I'm so thankful for that. I pray, Lord, in the next few moments that you would use the truth of your word, Lord, to help the heart and hearts of your people. And Father, we'll thank you and we'll praise you for everything that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here in the book of Psalms, Psalm 37, we know that David, of course, he is the author of this psalm. If you have a Bible where there's titles underneath the chapter, it will say so, a Psalm of David. So this is a Psalm of David, like many of the Psalms are. And let me just say this about this particular Psalm. I've studied this Psalm for a number of years now, and I never really thought about this. But when David wrote this Psalm, he was a much older man. I didn't want to say old man, because I really wasn't sure what his age was. And but he was a much older man. Look in verse number 25. David says, I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You know, some things just come with age. Some lessons just come with age and experience. Of course, I could say at the same time that just because we age, that doesn't necessarily mean we gain wisdom. We have to apply ourselves to gain that wisdom. I know some people that are much older that are not that wise. But then I know a lot of older people who are wise. And so you have to apply yourself in order to have that wisdom up in age. But we see that David, he is a much older man. And he's been through a lot. He's seen a lot. Again, he says that he was young, and now he's old, and he's never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. So David the author, being a much older man, pins down Psalm 37. David is writing down some words of wisdom in this psalm. And he is reflecting back over his life and some things that he learned in his lifetime, and he's pinning those things down here for us to glean some wisdom from. He uses the whole book, Psalm 37, talking about the wicked's prosperity and the righteous poverty. So as you read Psalm 37, you'll find the word wicked or wickedness over and over and over again. And then of course you have David, and he's talking about the wicked versus the righteous. And David, he gets kind of hot or in a rage. He gets angry. Verse 1 actually, David says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. And so David is using this psalm here, and he's talking about why is it that it seems that the evils of this world, the wicked people of this world prosper, yet the righteous suffer. And the righteous, they go and They do without sometimes. They suffer. Not that God's not providing for them, but it's just something that David sees over his lifetime. For example, look in verse number 28, if you would. In verse number 28, he says, "For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever." Back in verse number 16, listen to this. "A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked." And so, again, as you read this psalm, you'll find out that the wicked are prospering, and yet the righteous are living in poverty. Not that God's not taking care of them, but it just seems like to David that the scales are off balance. Why, Lord? Why? And I could even say in our day, as we reflect on the world we live in, it just seems like wickedness and evil and sin is just abounding, getting worse and worse and worse. The very hearts of people are growing cold, and even church people, Christians, are growing indifferent to the things of God. And you begin to wonder, Lord, why is this taking place? Lord, when will you step in? When will there be judgment? Kind of sounds like Habakkuk in the Old Testament. And so we wonder these things sometimes, why the wicked, they continue on, and why the righteous suffer. So these are a lot of the things that David talks about in this psalm, Psalm 37. And again, he talks mostly about the wicked's prosperity and the righteous in their poverty. David also spends a great time encouraging the believers in this book. And he encourages the believers concerning the wicked and their prosperity, but he goes on and he talks about our future as believers. Now, I read verse 28. I want to read verse 28 and 29 again, and then I want to back up and read verse 10 and 11. Verse 28 says, "For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints." That's good to know. "They are preserved forever." That is a very good thing to know. "But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever." Back in verse number 10 and verse number 11, again, David is encouraging us. He's looking across his lifespan and trying to give us a little bit of insight. "For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." Amen right there. And so as you see, David, he is contrasting, and he's trying to encourage those that are Christians that the wicked, they're having their day now, but they're soon going to be cut down like the grass. In fact, he mentions that very quote. And that us that are saved, we have a better day coming. One day we will inherit the earth. One day we will delight ourselves in the abundance of peace. And so we see all of these things taking place in Psalm 37. And then, let me say, David also gives us some instruction as we experience similar situations in life. Now, notice if you would, verse number 1 through 7. 1 through 7. There are some words here that are used specifically in verse number 3, 4, 5, and 7. That David gives us to encourage us. There are words of wisdom, and they're great words. They're words that we should always remember anytime and at all times. But let's begin reading in verse number 1 down through verse number 7. And tonight we're going to look at David's words of wisdom. In verse number 1, the Bible says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." Again, the words "fret not" means to burn, to glow, to get angry. "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." We'll stop there for a second. Some of you may know C.H. Spurgeon, one of those early Puritans, pastor, preacher for many, many years, had one of the, I guess it was the biggest church over in London. He said this about this chapter and about this verse, verse number 2. He said, "The wicked will not outscape or escape the mower, or the grass shall not escape the mower." And so one day there's coming a time when the mower, God's mower, will mow down the wicked. And then in verse number 3, the Bible says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." We'll stop reading there in verse number 7. Again, tonight we have some words of wisdom from David. Again, he has taken his whole life and he is reflecting back. He says, "Well, I was young. I'm old now. God never forsook me, never let me do without." And he says that there's this problem with the wicked people and how that they get away with things, it seems like. They prosper, and yet the righteous suffer. He says, "So let me just give you some words of wisdom as you, us, are going through the same things in our generation." The first word of David's wisdom is in verse number 3, and that's the word trust. The word trust. He says, "Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." He said, if there's anything that I can tell you, if there's any kind of element that I wish I did more in my lifetime, and that is to just simply trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord when times are good. Trust in the Lord when times are bad, when it seems like the wicked are prospering. And it seems like God has forgotten about you. David says, even in those times, trust in the Lord. The word trust here, it means to put confidence in. It means to have faith in. Now, I want to ask everybody a question tonight. Has Jesus been faithful to you? Absolutely. So therefore, we can put our total confidence in him. But we struggle with that, don't we? David says, trust in the Lord. He says, place your confidence totally in Jesus. Have faith in him, the one who's been faithful and who has seen you through everything in your life like he has my life. He says, trust in the Lord. Now, I want to give you an illustration. I was thinking of this today, of this word trust, and when it comes to us trusting in the Lord. If you went to Kroger looking for eggs every week, and sometimes when you went to Kroger looking for eggs, you found the eggs. Other times you went looking for eggs, and the eggs weren't there. If you did that at Kroger, sometimes they were there, sometimes they weren't. You could not say that Kroger is trustworthy concerning eggs. You could not place total confidence in Kroger concerning eggs. You couldn't have no kind of confidence in them at all. Because you would think to yourself, well, there's times I go there, and sometimes they're there, sometimes they're not there. So I'm in the car, and I need some eggs. I'm just not going to go to Kroger today. Suppose you go to Publix, and you park in Publix, you go in the store, and there's eggs at Publix. You go home, and the next time you need eggs, you go back out, you say, you pass Kroger. Well, I'm not going to go to Kroger, because sometimes they're there, sometimes they're not. I want to go into Publix where I know they're there. And sure enough, you get to Publix and those eggs are there. So you could say about Publix that without a shadow of a doubt, you could place your total confidence that they have eggs at any given time. Kind of a silly illustration, but it really holds true to to this element of trust. Jesus isn't there sometimes. Sometimes he is, sometimes he's not. Jesus doesn't just meet our needs sometimes, and sometimes, you know, we can't find them and we suffer and do without. No. Jesus is like, if I could say it, like the exit Publix. They are always there. Jesus is dependable. Jesus is there. He is trustworthy. You can put your confidence in Jesus tonight. And so David says, as I look across my life from start to finish, I have to say that he's been faithful. And so he gives us these words of wisdom. And he says, number one, trust in the Lord. Just trust in him. Now he goes on and he says this, trust in the Lord and do good. That's the other part of the challenge. Not only getting this thing settled of trusting in the Lord, but continuing to do right. You know, sometimes when there's struggles and problems and challenges, things change. We go through different seasons. And sometimes we struggle with trust. Lord, I'm just not sure, you know, what you're doing in my life. And so we may wrestle with doubt and faith at times. Okay? And so that's what David is nailing down here. He says, trust in the Lord. You can put your confidence in him. But suppose you are going through a season of struggle, a season of adversity, and you say, okay, Lord, I'm just going to trust in you. You've been faithful. Your word says you will always be faithful. Never leave us. Never forsake us. I'm just going to trust in you. Well, there's still a life to live. You still have to do right. You can't just say, okay, I want to trust the Lord and just stay home and lock the doors and quit your job and fall apart. Can't do that. There's still a race to run. And there's still a life to live. And so David says, trust in the Lord and do good. Basically saying, trust and obey. Like the song says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. And so David says there may be times where your trust, your faith is really put to the test and life is still going on. You can't just sink. You can't just retreat. But you have to teetotally trust in him and do good. Continue on. I like what Galatians 6:9 says. Paul says, let us therefore not grow weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You see, sometimes we go to church and, you know, we have our own devotions at home and prayer time and try to do the Christian thing day in and day out. And if you're not careful, because of the situation you're in, the thought can float across your mind, is it even worth it? Is it even worth it? The devil can get up on your shoulder and make you feel like that God is not hearing your prayers. He's a million miles away. Sometimes you could either wrestle with the idea of kind of just, you know, loosening your efforts a little bit. Well, I'm struggling so bad. I'm just not going to read my Bible as much because I'm hurting so bad. I'm not going to pray as much. And, you know, I'm not going to go to church as much. Kind of in that retreat mode I was talking about. And you see, it'd be very easy to grow weary in well-doing when God is doing something that we're not aware of. It's real easy to do that. Some may even think about throwing in the towel or giving up or at least being where you're supposed to be in person, but mentally being absent. That's a whole other thing as well. You know, we're all in here physically. But the question is, are we all here mentally and spiritually? That we don't know. And so we see that we're to trust in him. Again, Galatians 6:9, we are to not grow weary in well-doing. Doesn't mean that we won't get weary. Doesn't mean that we won't be tempted to faint or think about loosening our efforts. But the writer just says, keep on keeping on because there's coming a payday. There's a reward just around the corner. And so that just tells me that God is up to something. And so we took Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, and we read it and harmonized it with Psalm 37, verse 2, where he says, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. So there it is. God will provide. It's just we may have to be stretched. Trust is the first word of wisdom David has. But then there's a second word of wisdom, and that's in verse number 4, and that is the word delight. Delight. He says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. The word delight here, it means to several meanings. It means to satisfy thyself. You know, David said in Psalm 23, verse 1, that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He says, delight thyself. It also means, or it means to satisfy thyself or to content thyself. But it also means to be pliable. It means capable of being shaped or led or directed. And so David is saying that following the Lord, in my experience, in my lifetime, there were many times where I had to be pliable. I had to be able to be led by him in situations that weren't pleasant. I had to be pliable. I had to allow him to direct me, and I had to satisfy myself, content myself in him, because the situations weren't that desirous or desirable. And so, who was it Paul said in Philippians chapter number 4, I believe it is? He says, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. He said it twice, double emphasis. Why is that? Well, he said, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice in the Lord. He emphasizes rejoicing twice, but he also gives us the object of our rejoicing. He says, rejoice in the Lord. Because our circumstances are always changing. And there is, like one person said one time, we're either in a valley, coming out of a valley, or about to go in a valley. We're just around the bend of our next struggle. And so if we're waiting, and I know I struggled with this for the longest time, even really as of late, to be quite honest with you, you're waiting for that perfect day. You're waiting for the perfect set of circumstances, you know, so you can do what you're supposed to do and be responsible and fully throw yourself in things like you want to. And yet you're waiting for that perfect day. Again, those perfect set of circumstances. But you know, I come to realize and realize very quick, it's going to be rare. There are very rare days. I'll be 40 in April, and I know y'all are older than that. I can probably count on my fingers and my toes the days in my life that were just absolutely, I say, perfect. Can you agree with that? You can count on your fingers and toes. I mean, there's just not a perfect day. There's always something going on. There's always some kind of setback. There's always some kind of schedule change, some kind of pressure, something taking place in your life and mine. And so because of that, we have to set our focus and our attention solely upon Jesus, the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He never changes. He's always the same. And so if we focus on him, doesn't matter what happens over here. Yeah, it drives us crazy. It's uncomfortable. It's terrible. But my focus is on Jesus. And so whatever he's allowing to come into my life, over here there's some agitation, there's some anxiety, there's some fear, there's some worry, there's some struggle, setback. All of these things are happening in my life, in your life. Yet we're focusing on Jesus and we're allowing him to filter those things through us so that our faith may be refined and that we may be ready for the next trial. I said all that to say this, that David says that we're going to have to find our satisfaction in Jesus. Again, Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's enough said. Psalm 23, verse 1, that verse alone is so challenging. It has been for hundreds of years. If we were to ask ourselves that question tonight, the Lord is my shepherd, could you say, I shall not want? Or, the Lord is my shepherd, and I just wish that this situation was worked out over here. Or, the Lord is my shepherd, but this person is so mean to me all the time. Why can't you just get rid of them? Or is it, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? I believe that's the place that God is wanting us to be. Whether it's some kind of irritant person in our life, a circumstance, I told you before, and I'll tell you again, some kind of trial, some kind of struggle, God wants us to totally focus on Him and to trust in Him with all of our heart and to know that He's doing something. But we got to be pliable. We've got to be loose. We got to be able to be led. We got to be able to be directed. Listen to what Job said. I'll just give it to you. Job 23, verse 16. For God maketh my heart soft. There's another part to that verse, but I just jotted that down. You might want to jot that verse down. It's a good one. Job 23, 16. For God maketh my heart soft. You say, Brother Justin, what's God doing in my life tonight? He is making your heart soft. Even those of us who, even before salvation, had tender hearts. I've always had a tender heart, always. Even when I was lost, I had a tender heart. My brother and I and some friends, I mean, we used to go to them parties and we would get into fights. And my brother, he would go to the car and stay there. I would no sooner get in a fight and go apologize to him. I've always had a tender heart. That's who God designed me to be. He's given me a tender heart. But that doesn't mean that God is not continually trying to soften my heart. That doesn't mean that God, even those who are tender-hearted, that God is not trying to soften their heart, getting rid of some jagged edges that are in there. You know, because tender-hearted people aren't perfect people. I've got some jagged edges in my heart here and there. And so really, it shouldn't be surprising when you get in the car to go somewhere and the transmission don't work. It really shouldn't be surprising when the doctor calls and says, Mr. Hales, well, I see something in your x-ray. Can you come in here in my office and we can talk about it? I don't know why we're so surprised. I guess it's just the gravity of it. But I know what God's doing. Even with a person like me with a tender heart, there's still some jagged places there in my heart. And God will use a health trial. God will use an automobile that's about to drive me crazy so that I will surrender that to Him and say, I'm not listening to these voices anymore. I'm focusing totally on Him. That's the place He wants us to be. And so David says in verse number 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. Then he says, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Somebody said one time, asked a question, said, a young guy said, hey, preacher, if I ask God that, would He give me a bright and shiny red Mustang? Will He give it to me? That's not what that verse is talking about. The Lord is not a genie in a bottle. All right, Jesus, I want about a month vacation down in Florida. I mean, you know, he's not our personal genie, nothing like that. So what is this verse teaching us? I believe the verse is teaching us that when we get in alignment with Him, we will have desires that will come from Him. When we surrender ourselves to Jesus, we find contentment in Him. We say, Lord, I'm done trying to find contentment in these perfect days. There is none. I find my contentment in You. Sink or swim, forgive the phrase, but come hell or high water, You, Lord, are my contentment. You are my peace. And so we find that when we do that, He will birth desires in our hearts. And so while it does not mean that He's our personal genie, it does mean that if we trust in Him and content ourselves in Him, and rely upon Him, He will give thee the desires in our heart that He put there. He will allow them to come to fruition. And so we see that Basically, the word delight in verse 4 means to surrender to Jesus. And the idea is to surrender to Him. And in return, He will direct us. His desires will become our desires. And this is something that David learned in his lifespan. He learned the best thing to do is just surrender to Him and to just go along with the desires that the Lord places within his heart. Romans 12, verse number 1 and 2, I'll just give it to you. Paul's, this is a sister verse to this verse here, verse number 4. He says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may be able to test or prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12:1 and Romans 12:2 deals with what we're talking about tonight and delighting in the Lord and having the heart desires come to pass. All right, let me mention something else here. There's the word delight, the second word of wisdom David has. The word trust, that's the first word that David has of wisdom. But then in verse number 5, there's the word commit. The word commit. He says in verse number 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. The word commit here simply means to roll. The McCameys, they have a song that's been out for years, and it's called Roll Your Burden Upon the Lord. Anybody ever heard that one by the McCameys? It is a great, great song. Roll your burden upon the Lord. The word commit means to roll. So he says, roll thy way unto the Lord. Now, I was looking today and I got to thinking about the two words, thy way, which is another word we could say rather than thy way, or is path. And so let's look at it that way. Roll your way unto the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Commit thy path unto the Lord. Roll thy path unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. What is he talking about? It's committing what is ever in your path that you're dealing with, that you're struggling with, contending with, whatever is in your path. He's telling us to just roll it on the Lord. I don't know how many of you have ever went bowling before. Anybody here went bowling? I like bowling. I'm trying to talk Christy into it. Cosmic bowling at that. That'd be a good one. That'd be a good church event. Anyway, when you're bowling, you know, you pick up that heavy, heavy ball, and then you just look right down at the lane, right there at Miss Nancy, and you just throw that thing down there and hopefully get a strike. In essence, what you're doing is you're taking that which is heavy and you're rolling it down the lane. You are releasing it from your path. You are letting go of that which is heavy. You're rolling it down the lane to hit the pins. And so in our mind's eye, if we can look at the things that are in our pathway every day, God doesn't want us fretting. He doesn't want us worrying. He doesn't want us living in fear. He doesn't want us on the brink of a nervous breakdown. God doesn't want us getting close to having a stroke and dropping dead. He doesn't want that. But whatever it is in our path that's causing that, He wants us to just bye-bye. Again tonight, easier preached than lived, Brother David. Easier preached than lived. Whatever that is in your path, He wants you to just roll it on Him. He wants you to take it off of your shoulders and put upon His. Roll your burden upon the Lord. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. We did a study one time on that word all. That covers everything. It's hard to challenge that. It comes and it covers everything. Psalm 55 verse 22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord and He shall sustain thee. Right where you're at, with everything you're going through, He can sustain thee. He can revive you again. And so we're to commit. And David is trying to express that. Let me mention one more. There's four of them. Verse number 7, we're going to mention two words here actually. But it's the word rest. Verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. He says, rest in the Lord. And let me say this before I define that word rest. When we trust, we will be able to delight. And when we delight, we'll be able to commit. And when we commit, we'll be able to rest. But if you try to go from where you're at, where I'm at, times in my life, go to right to rest without trusting, delighting, and committing, that'd be the worst rest you'll ever get. Just continually trying to find that rest. Just cannot get no rest in your spirit. And trust me, I have been there. And I know you have too. Just a restless spirit. We try to, if you try to go from where you're at, whatever is in your pathway dealing with, that's a struggle, and you go straight to delight or straight to commit, it's going to be hard to do that without trust first. Because trust and faith is the very foundation of what we believe. Everything is built upon our faith and trust. So when we trust and when we delight and commit, then we'll be able to find our rest. The word rest here, y'all ready for this one? It means to stop. I can remember Lily when she was a baby. I can give you two references here. With Lily when she was a baby, and I got good, goo, 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 you know, all this kind of stuff. I said, stop a minute, please, stop. You know, trying to do everything in the world and take care of her too. But that dog we have, I have to tell him to stop a lot. Yeah, let me use him more than Lily on this point. He's up, he's down, he's in, he's out, he's wanting a snack, he's wanting a treat, wanting to go outside, he's almost sitting straight up in a chair. I don't even know what in the world's going on with that thing much of the time. And let me tell you what it did this afternoon. He had me angry. Picked up Lily from school. I picked up Lily from school and we came home. And there he was at the front door. We got these two little window panes on the sides of the door, one on each side. Most of the time when we come home, getting her from school, you can see his little face right there. He's barking. And there's absolutely no reason for him to bark. Christy's in the kitchen on a conference call, you know. She's been training some people at work, so the past couple weeks, she's been trying to juggle him barking and, you know, that the conference call she's on. But we came in, and he darted right out the door and ran right up the hill. There was two people walking. And I'm telling you, it didn't look like he had legs on him. It looked like he was a remote-controlled car or something. He'd shoo. And big old white teeth, looked like a shark. You know, he was going after them people, and I stopped. He wouldn't listen to me. I mean, I was yelling at him. I had some groceries in my hands, and I was yelling at him, Cooper, stop, slow down, quit. No, it didn't matter. It didn't matter. He ran right up on them people, and he stopped right at their feet. And, you know, I kind of figured that he wouldn't bite them. Dash hounds have a history of having a loud bark, very very rarely a bite, but they can, trust me. And so I went over there. I picked him up with one hand, took him inside. He looked at me. I said, "You know what's coming, don't you?" Gave him a little spanking on his rear end. I said, "Stop. What are you thinking? You're a crazy dog. You're a demon dog." He has so many different names. Demon dog. "I'm going to give you away and turn you loose in the woods." I said, "Stop that boy. What are you thinking? That's why you have no friends at all." And he doesn't. Everybody comes over, he barks at him. So I said, "Stop. That's enough." And the spiritual application here is Jesus is saying, "Stop. That's enough. With what you're going through on your path, your life you're dealing with, he says, stop, that's enough. You've done too much crying. Stop, that's enough. You've had too many doctor visits because of your situation. Stop, that's enough. And just rest in me." He says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Notice the word wait here. That word wait, it means to twist or whirl. I always like using this illustration. So growing up, grandma and mom would have dish towels or dish rags in the sink. And now, you know, you buy these funny-looking faces, these sponges and things like that, and you fill them up with gel. An old dish rag. And so I would, of course, you get through washing dishes. What would you do? That old dish rag, you get it, just... Or maybe like this. And you just... Until the next time, you go back to the kitchen sink to do dishes. One time I asked my grandfather, I said, "Why don't we buy a dishwasher?" He said, "Why? We got plenty of them in the house." So it's a true statement. That's the way he was. But you know, he says, in David here, he's talking about trusting when it's hard, delighting when it's hard, committing and resting. He says, it's like being twisted like this. It's like, it's so painful. You know, every day that you live, it's just pain. But you see, when you twist that dish rag, that old dish soap and water goes out of it, so... Really, we can go a step further and say God is just, he's getting rid of all those impurities within us. That trial like to kill us, but we made it. We're a lot smarter, a lot closer to God from it. He says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Stop. You've done enough worrying. You've tried to figure it out enough on your own. You have a family to lead. You have a spouse to care for. Just stop and be still and let me work. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I'm God." Elijah, he was looking for God in the wind. He was looking for God in the lightning. The earthquake, couldn't find the Lord. He was looking for the Lord in all these big things. But the Bible says, in a still small voice was the Lord. You see, we got to get still sometimes. I mean, we got to rest sometimes, and it's hard to do that sometimes. If we trust God with our salvation, let us trust Him with our struggles. We trust Him with our soul, and for some reason or the other, it's so hard to trust Him with our struggles. So in conclusion, I say this. If we trust God with our salvation, let us trust Him with our struggles. Pray, give it to God, rest, and see what happens. Pray, give it to God, rest, and just see what happens. Rest, commit, delight, trust. This isn't my first time preaching on this subject, but I just felt like it was the lesson for tonight. David's words of wisdom. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you for who you are, Lord, and for what you do. God, I'm thankful that you met with us tonight. You meet us every time we have church, and every time we open our Bible at church or at home, you're there. You're with us, and we're thankful, Lord. But there are certain times, Lord, where we feel like you're actually ministering and using us, Lord, and we're thankful for that. I pray tonight, if there's someone here, maybe even someone watching on Facebook, I pray that they got what they were looking for, they heard what they needed to hear, and so that they could just trust the Lord a little bit longer, go to bed tonight and be at ease, and wake up and trust the Lord some more. Lord, I just pray that you'll move in a mighty way in the hearts of your people. We'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, anything to mention before we close? Anything at all? All right, well, thank you so much for being here tonight. And it's always a delight on Wednesday nights. Let's just be in prayer for this coming up Sunday. Let's just pray for God to do something different. I want him to do something different. And I praise him for what he has done, but let's pray that he'll do something different. And, of course, be in prayer for Jubilee. All right, you're dismissed.